I am very thankful to be here this evening. Brother Sam, I will not take offense to being picked second. I really don't mind. I am thankful to be here this evening. This morning I was preaching at Lebanon Primitive Baptist Church, and I was preaching on a particular chapter, and about 10 minutes before I was done with my effort this morning, a somewhat related thought came to my mind, but a totally different thought came to my mind, and this has been just very heavily on my mind since this morning, and I just can't shake it. I was really, really hoping that something else would come on my mind that I'm a tad more prepared for, but this is what I have. I do beg an interest in your prayers. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is a very interesting chapter. And it's interesting, not because it's terribly different from any of the other chapters that we read throughout the Gospels. Jesus is performing many, many miracles as he normally does. There's always a crowd of people following him. This isn't really anything different. But there is one particular reoccurring thing that I would like to focus on just for a little bit this evening. And it is something that I need to be reminded of, and I know many of you will also need to be reminded of this one thing. Many times when we read about gospel accounts of Jesus Christ, there's always a general population that is surrounding him. There's always a multitude of people. There are many sick people that are trying to be healed. There are many people that are just following him because they were able to take part of the bread and fish and were fed, and they wanted that really good food from Jesus. And some people really just wanted to hear the message that he had to say. So there was always going to be a whole bunch of people around Jesus Christ wherever he went. But in this chapter, in this particular chapter, there are four different times where Jesus doesn't worry about the multitudes and gives very special and particular time with individuals on a very personal level. In Mark chapter 4, I know I told you to turn to Mark chapter 5, but in Mark chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples are going across the Sea of Galilee, and they come across this massive, giant, terrible, scary storm. This is a storm that is so terrible and terrifying that even professional fishermen who were weathered by the sea were terrified of this storm and came to Jesus and says, "Master, care us not that we perish." They were so afraid that they knew that they were just going to perish in that sea, in that storm, in that moment. But here's Jesus very calmly rebuking their unbelief and rebuking the storm and telling the storm, the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still." And we get to Mark chapter 5, and they have gone through the storm. They've landed up on shore. In verse 2, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. This is a very troubling scene. This is a very troubling person. This is a very troubled person that is literally has his whole life taken over by an unclean spirit, making him do awful and terrible things. Literally taking his life away from him. And here's Jesus showing up to the scene, showing up on the shores. But when this same one who has this unclean spirit, the same one who we have already been, who we've know this story as the wild Gadarene. This is a wild man who people are literally afraid of. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I got a feeling that even though he may not have been in his right mind, there was something that was so marvelous and so compelling about Jesus Christ that he just, for the briefest of moment, even the unclean spirit couldn't grab a hold of his mind, and he ran to the one person that he just knew could help him. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? And I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Here's the unclean spirit. Here's the unclean spirit speaking to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, please don't do whatever you're going to do to me. Let me just have my moment. Let me just have my fun. Have my time. You're not set to throw me into the pits of hell yet. That day is coming, but it's not coming now. Like let me do my thing." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Here's this moment where the unclean spirit has this conversation with Jesus and says, "Jesus, I know that you have power over me. Let us just have our moment. Let us just have this time. Just send us into the swine. Let us go into the swine so we can have a sense of pleasure." And they do, and 2,000 pigs just run off the cliffside. And it's such a terror. I can't imagine the noise. I can't imagine the sight. that was going on. Of course, everyone else was afraid, and they went and told everyone that this random guy that came up to the shore had a conversation with the wild Gadarean, and now all my pigs are running loose and jumping to their deaths in the sea. Like, that is a terrifying sight. I just cannot imagine. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Here's this man at one point in time was possessed by an unclean spirit and now desires to follow Jesus because of what he's done for him. And we get to Jesus' response. He's in verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Jesus says, your purpose is not to follow me back over across the sea. You go and be a witness to me. You go and tell people what I've done for you and how I've done things for you where you are. You be a witness over here. And he departed and began to publish how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I want you to just pay very close attention that Jesus didn't speak to any other person. No other person but this wild Gadarean. Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee. He crossed a great storm. He casted out unclean spirits, a whole legion of devils in this one person, and then he left. And then he just went back. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Here, there's already a multitude waiting for Jesus to get back. And here's this one man coming to Jesus with a very urgent plea and a very broken heart and saying, Jesus, my daughter is sick even unto death. I believe that you can heal. I've seen you heal people before. Can you please just come and heal her? Can you please just go to her and heal her like you blessed, that you've healed everyone else? And so Jesus goes, and he's on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. Mind you, there's a whole multitude of people around. A whole multitude of people around. But we get to verse 25, and there's a particular person that Mark draws our attention to. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. In a whole multitude of people, there's this one woman who, by all Jewish standards, ought not to have been even remotely near this place. She has an issue of blood. She was, by Levitical law, unclean and unfit for society until her bleeding stopped. But here is this woman who has lost all hope in anything other than Jesus Christ, because she spent her whole life savings. She went to all of the physicians she could. She spent all of her money. She spent all of her time and resources trying to solve the situation that she is in, trying to solve this problem, trying to solve this issue, trying to solve this infirmity that she has. But the Bible says that her situation just kept getting worse. How many times have I myself thought that I could handle the situation on my own, done things by myself, sought other things other than God, and I just ended up making things worse for myself? This is the same situation here with this woman that has the issue of blood and has had the issue of blood for 12 years. She has been outcasted. She has been deemed unclean for 12 whole years. But she hears about Jesus. She hears about Jesus and how he's close by, how he's near, and just knows that she doesn't even have to speak to him, knows that she doesn't even have to touch him, that all she has to do is get close to him. And child of God, sometimes all you have to do in the troubles and trials and infirmities and in issues in our lives, sometimes you don't even have the words to say to Jesus. Sometimes you don't even know where to grab a hold of him. You don't even know where he is to find him, to physically hold him. But you can get close to him, and that is enough sometimes. And here's this woman who just knows that even getting close to him is enough. Just touching his clothes is enough. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest this, the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" This is one of the funniest verses to me, and I don't mean to make light of it. If I'm wrong in doing so, if I'm irreverent, please forgive me. But putting myself in this situation, I can just see the disciples saying, are you serious right now? Look at all the people that are around. And you're concerned about who touched you? Like, Jesus, there's a sick little girl that we're going to go, that you're going to go heal, and you're stopped because someone touched you? Of course someone touched you. But this touching is different. This touching was different. This touching was special. But notice that Jesus stopped what he was doing in the midst of his journey to help Jairus' daughter, to help Jairus himself, in the midst of a whole multitude. Jesus stood still and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Jesus knowing that she was already healed, knowing that her issue of blood had already been taken care of, he could have just kept on going. Because he had a purpose to go heal Jairus' daughter. But there's also the purpose of having this particular moment with this woman that had the issue of blood. This woman that had for so long, for 12 years now, have felt to have been ostracized and felt to have been dehumanized and felt to be an outcast. Felt, and not even felt, but deemed unclean for 12 years. Here's Jesus looking at this woman in particular and having this moment with her and calling her daughter. Now, this is very interesting because this is the only time in the gospel accounts ever that Jesus uses this term daughter or son. This is a special moment with this woman that had the issue of blood, that Jesus uplifted her out of a place in her, not even in society, but also in her mind, that she was felt to be unloved and unlovable. And here's Jesus Christ, the one who literally just healed her, the one who has a multitude of people around, stopping and speaking to her and uplifting her and giving her a message of peace in her life when for 12 years she's not known an ounce of peace. Amen. She has not known an ounce of hope. And here's Jesus taking time out of his very busy schedule to spend with her personally. In verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Mind you, again, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house because Jairus' daughter was sick unto death. Clearly, there's been some time passing. And now Jairus' daughter is actually dead. And a servant from Jairus' house comes and tells them that there's no reason to trouble Jesus anymore. Up until this point, they haven't seen Jesus raise anyone from the dead. That has not crossed their mind that he is able to do such a task. All they've seen him do is heal people. So they're saying, don't worry about getting Jesus over here. She's dead. We'll go and prepare her body for burial. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue and a whole multitude of people, he singles out Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, and tells him something that he and he alone needs to hear in that moment. He says, be not afraid, only believe. And you know, there are so many times that people get the message that their loved one has passed. When they've been seeking the Lord to deliver them, when they've been praying over and over their loved one's body, when they have just prayed for deliverance, and it doesn't quite seem to come in the way that we always want it to come, Jesus' response, and even the earth-shattering, earth-quaking news of death itself, Jesus' response to that grieving father says, be not afraid, only believe. And child of God, that response is even the same now. Even when you are faced with the worst news that you could possibly ever imagine in your mind. Jesus' response is, be not afraid, only believe. Believe in what? Believe in the one that has told you to not be afraid. So believe in the one that gave, believe in the one that sent his son. He says, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brothers of James, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house, the ruler of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult and them that weep, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. The most encouraging and most and the sweetest news anyone can ever have when they come face to face with death. Death is so hard in this life for you and me. It is the greatest separator that we have. They're gone. They're in the ground. We physically won't be able to see them again with our eyes. But to our God in heaven, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even something as terrible and as hard as death itself is, it is merely sleep to him. And so Jesus goes to this house and tells them that the little damsel is sleeping, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put all of them out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Here in this particular scene, in the midst of trouble and trial and sadness and grief and weeping, there was Jesus that got rid of all of that and told them to leave and had a very personal moment and literally held the hand of the little damsel that was dead and said, damsel, arise, and she arose. I don't know exactly which person you relate to that had this very personal moment with Jesus Christ. I don't know if you sort of relate to the wild Gadarene, how you are chained up in sin and torment in your life. I don't know if you're the woman with the issue of blood that is full of shame and isolation. I don't know if you can relate to Jairus and having such a heavy heart with the news that you just can't bear to stand with. I don't know if you're Jairus's daughter and you feel and you're surrounded by death and hopelessness. I don't know what case you may be in, but I do know of a very personal Savior that comes to you when you need it and will seek you out and no one else. Amen. Jesus Christ went through a whole storm for the wild Gadarene. In the storms of your life, Jesus Christ will come to where you are and unloose you from those chains and release you from the bondage that you are under. There, even in a in a whole world and multitude of people that love and follow Jesus Christ, when it comes to you needing Him, just draw near unto Him. He will pause and He will speak to you directly. A whole multitude of people just running around. And they may not even realize the weight that you're carrying in your mind and in your heart and in your soul, and that you don't, that they may not see the weight that your weak shoulders may be carrying, but you know, there's one that does, and the one that says, "Be not afraid, only believe," to you, and speaks to you directly when you need it the absolute most. And I don't know if you feel to be like this Jairus' daughter, and you feel like all hope is lost in this life, that you just don't even know how you're going to take another step, that you just can't go on anymore. Jesus comes to where you are when you need it the absolute most, holds your hand, speaks to you directly, says, "Child of God, arise. Leave this place of death. Leave this place of hopelessness and arise unto me. Come up to me with the mountaintops that you can just live, that you can eat." It says in that Jesus commanded them that they gave her some food. Sometimes we just need some food, and Jesus tells us to get up, to rise up from that state that we're in, and gives us handfuls of purpose that we can have, that we can grow in and grow by. Jesus is a very, very personal Savior that comes and visits and comes and cures and comes that heals the broken heart and comes that lifts us up when we need it the absolute most. You personally may feel to be one out of a million people that are in this world, that are struggling in this life. And we all have our own issues. We all have our own problems. But when it comes to your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ, He is just as personal to you as He is to me. Amen. He comes to each and every one of us when we need it the absolute most in our life. I thank you for your kind patience and attention this evening. May God bless you, is my prayer.